eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, so Eddie says we're rolling. Here we go. It's the podcast, post-game podcast. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi, Jerry. You know how I love a good murder documentary.
I've heard this about you, yes.
I never, you know, Netflix. I feel like I'm all caught up in the Netflix, everything Netflix has that I'm interested in, I've seen. So
yes.
When something new comes out, I get excited.
Okay.
And I just feel like they're getting lazy with titling the names of these things now. Because I just started watching one. It's a three-parter. I'm two parts in, and I'm kind of bored already with it because it's somewhat predictable. But it's called I Just Killed My Dad.
Okay.
I mean, they're not even trying to be creative. They took the title from the 911 call where the where the kid, he's like, I don't know how old, I guess he was in his 20s or something, or teens. Probably he's in his teens. Teens, 17. He, I guess he and his father had quite a relationship.
Oof.
And he shot his father and killed him and then called 911. And he was so calm. He goes, they go, yeah, what's the emergency? He goes, yeah, I just killed my dad. They're like, okay, where are you? And
why?
Yeah. Oh
my God.
Yeah.
It was like Jeanette McCurdy. She's the child star from Disney, from iCarly. She's probably in her late 20s now.
Yeah.
She wrote a memoir book.
Mm-hmm.
The name of it is I'm Glad My Mom Died.
Oh, I was seeing headlines about that.
And she said the reason was, and Eddie, don't ever replay that.
Don't
please.
You, Eddie, don't you dare.
Yeah. She said specifically she used that title because she thought it would grab headlines and would make people interested in reading the book because she had a really bad relationship with her mom. And not that she was glad she died, but like they had a lot of troubles.
Yeah.
So maybe that's partly why they choose that line out of the thing, because it is kind of like that's the name of it.
I did as I was going by it.
So it worked.
I just killed my dad. Let me see what this is about. It sounds like a fun murder mystery.
I wonder, is there a spoiler alert here?
Spoiler alert. Yeah, it's interesting, though, because they go into it about, like, you know, it gets into this whole thing, which we've heard before, like in abusive relationships, if somebody's being very abusive to somebody else, and they kill that person in a self-defense mode, or they've just reached the boiling point.
Yeah,
it is interesting. I don't know what happens with this kid if he goes to jail, or they haven't really let that out yet. It's interesting that it's not just like that kid called 911 and said, "I just killed my dad."
Yeah,
and they're in court to see whether this kid's guilty of murder.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like he called to say I just shot and killed my father.
Yeah, I guess in that case, it's kind of like what you said. The defense is, was he in the right frame of mind to where he would be guilty and incarcerated?
Right.
Or are you guilty and you need medical help?
Yes.
You know, emotional.
Or did, right. Or yeah. Or did all this years of abuse yeah. from the father. It's wild. Yeah. Some people are having wild lives.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I'm lucky that I have a boring life. I mean, some people are just having a wild ride out there.
There's no doubt. And it's, you know, I don't know who it was, but someone, I was here, maybe one of my other places I work, I don't know. Remember one day one person said, man, you think you got it, like, not so good, and then you realize, I think everything's fine when you hear about other people's problems.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's just hard to keep that in your consciousness at all times. You know what I mean? Like, when you
For sure.
hear somebody having a horrible life.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, oh my gosh, you know, what am I complaining
right,
about?
You reflect and you realize I'm not going to be like that anymore. And then you write back to yourself.
Right back to it.
It's like when someone passes away, I'm going to make sure I enjoy every day and I'm not going to take anything for granted. And I'm going to go on that trip I wanted to do because God knows what tomorrow brings. And then you do that and you act that way for a very brief time. And then you slowly morph back into your routine.
I asked my sister that. My younger sister, when she was 37, she had stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And it spread throughout, but she, you know, survived it and she's all good now. But I said to her, I go, do you still years later now, did it change your thing? And I think she said, you know, it does for sure, but there are days and there are days in a row that go by where
you're just living and
you
don't think about it.
You get back to your normal life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A routine is great, and yet a routine can suck at the same time.
Yeah.
Because if you can really get, I think a lot of people can really get bogged down with the routine. And it's kind of like you want a new job. You talk about a new job, but you never go get that new job. And you just kind of continue to trudge through life. Next thing you know, a year's gone by, 5 years, 10, 15, 20 years. It's like, and do you have a regret you never went and got that new job 15 years ago? Well, you didn't do anything about it because you were comfortable in the routine.
Yes.
It's hard.
We all get comfortable. Jerry, I'm the most comfortable person there is.
You are. Yes, you are.
I don't like anything.
But you have no reason not to be, though. Without kids and without, and I know you and Gina have been together a long time, but there is nothing legally binding you together with her. So if she decided that was it, all right, well, it would suck, but it's a clean break. You literally have nothing tying you down. So there's nothing wrong with you living your... If you like it, you're only bored because you want to be bored.
Jerry, are you saying live, damn it?
That's how I try to, yes.
Live.
I will tell you, if I had more money, if I had enough money to do it, and I didn't spend my money on tuition and medical bills and house renovations and I don't know that a weekend would go by that I wouldn't travel. And I mean that sincerely.
Really?
Like, I could see myself, maybe not every weekend, but I could see myself twice a month. Like the Mets are in Atlanta tonight. All right, well, that's not a good example because it's a weekday. Let's say this was the way they were in Atlanta Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I could see myself going home, picking up my son, and going right to the airport Friday. Couple games, come home Sunday night. This weekend coming up, maybe I want to go to the Cowboys preseason game.
The thought of going to the airport.
That doesn't bother me like it bothers you.
Yeah,
it does not
I wish
faze
it
me.
Did not faze me. It
doesn't faze me at all. And I know I'm going to run into stuff sometimes. But I would do that at least 2 times a month. I really would. I love traveling and seeing different places and going and doing things. I just can't afford to do that at this point, which, you know, it sucks because the time goes by, you don't do it. But at the same time, if you don't have the money to do things, I can't spend $5,000 every weekend.
Right.
Can't do it, but I would love to. I would love to.
You'd be out there traveling.
Yeah, like to me, this weekend, I mean, I can't because I have to work and I got the Cowboys and my son's got a scrimmage and it's not that easy. Like, I would love to pick up and go to, like, Miami Beach this weekend with Kim. It'd be awesome. Just get out, get away for a couple days, and then be back for Monday morning. I'd be good with that. But I couldn't afford to do that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Hmm. Would you go to the same places over and over again, like Miami Beach, or would you go, I'm going to Colorado this weekend,
No, I would like to see different places.
Montana.
Would I find a spot that I might go back to a few times a year? Absolutely. But would I want to go every week? No. No. I'd love to go. See, I'd love to go to the LA this weekend for Cowboys Chargers. That would be awesome.
Oh, that's
and then
in LA.
Maybe the week after, go wherever the Mets are, maybe in Denver, or maybe they're in Milwaukee. I don't know where they are. I'd love to get all over the place.
My friend John is on vacation now with his family. They went, they landed, and they drove right to the Angels game.
Nice.
Then they're going to Dodger game, and then awesome. Disneyland.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's what we did. We did Dodge. We didn't do Angels. We did Dodgers, Giants, Disneyland.
Oh, you did. That was your combo.
Yes, that was the get off the plane right to Disneyland, waste $500 because Kim and Matthew were so exhausted and rude and not happy to be there that after 2 hours of them sitting and sulking while me and Joseph went on rides, we decided, fine, let's leave. I was not happy.
That's not a good way to kick off your vacation, Jerry.
No. And then, all no joke, check into the hotel. Matthew and Kim order room service and pass out by 6 p.m. Me and Joseph ate, and then we're in the pool at the hotel until midnight, until they closed it. That's true.
So you guys were living.
Yeah, we were. I like doing things. I can't sit still.
Is that the trip where you bought the wrong MVP passes or something?
No.
That was a different trip?
That was last year. That was
Disney World in Orlando.
No, it was MGM Studios or whatever it's called. Oh, okay. Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucked.
You bought tickets.
Universal.
You bought tickets, and then you thought you were buying some sort of speed pass.
I didn't buy the tickets. I always buy the tickets when we get there. When we got there, the lines were ridiculous. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a 21st century person. I'm going to put the app on my phone, and I'm going to buy the tickets on the phone to get the hell in the park and not waste time. I bought the tickets, but bought the wrong tickets. And then I'm like, all right, let me do the – I bought FastPass, but a FastPass wasn't it's so confusing. They didn't coincide with the tickets I bought. And then I bought something else, and when I looked down and saw the charge was $1,800, I was like, huh? But I spent like $2,200 to go to Universal for one day. Now, we were there from 11 to 10 p.m. Yeah, that was bad.
That was a rough one.
I've never been upset at spending money. That pissed me off.
Were you able to shake it to enjoy the day? You weren't. Yeah,
I would say by 6 p.m.
Six.
And when we got to the Simpson Land with Joseph, I'd cooled off and I enjoyed that. And
because he was enjoying it,
he had a blast with Bart Simpson, all that area.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a bad day.
Okay.
Then when I told Kim when we got in the car, like she knew I did something and I screwed up the tickets, but I didn't want to talk about it. When I finally calmed down and then told her, then she was annoyed. I should have just told her at the time. We could have been both annoyed together.
Right. And then by the end of the day, you would have both been good.
That was terrible. Yeah. Oh, well.
Do you see polio is back in New York?
Yeah, we talked about that today.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't understand. So they said it's in the wastewater in New York City.
Someone's pooping it out or urinating it out.
Yeah, I guess it means it's being excreted from somebody's body parts or multiple
people's body parts. So does that mean people, they're testing the sewage system for disease every day?
Yeah, I guess they test the sewage system for different things, which is what a job that would be.
I had no idea.
Scooping up sewage and then testing it.
I mean, maybe you get paid really well. I don't know.
I was like, what is polio again? That's a disease that
Didn't Roosevelt have that?
Paralysis. Yeah.
Right? Didn't Teddy Roosevelt have that?
I'm not sure. Evan would know that. He's the president's
expert. And he knows the address where he grew up, too.
Yeah, and his boyhood home.
And which number president he was.
Mm-hmm.
Who his VP was.
Yes.
That is very true.
Whether he was Republican or Democrat.
Yes. That's true. Evan would know that.
I don't think... I think anything prior to Jimmy Carter, I don't think I could tell you if that person was Republican or Democrat.
Well, Nixon was a Republican, wasn't he? Pretty sure he was.
What about before that?
Well, Kennedy was a Democrat.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, like, was Abe Lincoln a Democrat or Republican?
That I don't know.
Right, George Washington.
I mean, did they even really exist?
I don't know. Oh, them as human beings?
I'm kidding.
Good question.
And weren't there other parties, too? It wasn't just Republican and Democrat.
Yeah,
weren't there, like, all these weird parties that they had?
I don't know. We need a history teacher to...
I don't care. I'm
That's
good.
True. Don't annoy Jerry with your answers.
It's not annoying. I'm not interested.
Yeah, I got into this thing on my social media with Pliables, Jerry. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, if I was that nice owner of Pliables, I would hunt you down and punch you in the face.
Why are you going to punch me in the face?
Because you basically, and I'm not saying what you said is wrong. Clearly, it's right.
Right.
You basically did a video that said they have one healthy option.
My point was this, because some people did get upset at me, and other people said, thank you. Pliables, like these acai bowls and things.
Sure.
For a couple years now, Gina and I have been having a debate of whether they are healthy or
Absolutely.
Not. Because they're pitched as healthy.
Yes.
Right? And for the longest time, there was no nutritional facts on their mm-hmm. website and things. But the nutritional facts are now on the website. But the problem is they don't separate in the nutritional facts the sugar from the added sugar.
Yep, I saw.
So they make it seem like all of the sugar is natural.
It's coming
sugar,
from the fruit.
Which they even put on their website. Hey, there's a big difference between da-da-da. But I also had reached out to the company and just asked for their ingredients, you know, because I want to know what I'm eating. And they were very nice enough to send me the ingredients, but there's sugar in it.
Right.
There's like added sugar. And so all I was trying to do was say, hey, these are great, but they're not like a healthy right. food.
I think there's two things at work here.
Yeah.
There is and they're the extremes. You are at an extreme level of nutrition compared to society. So
compared to society, right? But not compared to other nutrition people either.
Compared to society. So if I am, for instance, I have a, let's say I had a daughter and she was heavy and the lunch of choice is and has been McDonald's chicken nuggets, French fries, and a Coke. I think it's pretty common, actually, so I'm not even making anything right. up. I think that's probably... If I've got a Pliable for my daughter or a Happy Meal with saturated fats and oils and a soda, there's no doubt which one's the healthier option. So for those people, that's it. 100 times over, that is healthy compared to that. The problem then is when you're talking about people that are really trying to be healthy... and are trying to cut sugar out. They're at a point, like for me, a Pliable is still healthy, I think, because I am not at the point where I'm eating better than that. When I get to the point, though, where that's the best thing I'm eating, now I need to get better.
Right.
Because it's not the best option. And there are better ways to eat. But I think there's different levels of health based on where you're at and what you eat on a daily basis and what your diet is. Your diet has got to be... And I don't even think it's an exaggeration. Your diet has to be in the top 1% of society. I don't know how it couldn't be. You drink tons of water. You look at sugar levels. You eat clean meats. You get your take of vegetables. I know you take certain vitamins. Like, you're not eating ice cream and Oreos every night. You're not running to Wendy's and McDonald's and Burger King every night. Like, you eat well.
Right, but my point on that thing was that we know that about McDonald's, right?
Sure.
We know that about grabbing a pizza. We know right. that about getting an ice cream in the summer. We know that about going to Froyo. The idea was that the Pliables are always pitched as a healthy meal.
Like Smoothie King.
Right, which mm-hmm. is another one. I'm going to make a Smoothie King video.
You know what I would love to know? I really would.
Yeah.
I would love to do this, too. I'm so fat, I can't. I would love to know if I had 7 days in a row, I had a medium chocolate milkshake from Carvel compared to 7 medium Smoothie King smoothies. Same size. What's the end result?
Right.
Like, are those milkshakes, which no one thinks are healthy, we know that. Is my waistline going to get noticeably rounder? Or are the smoothies better or worse? Because I don't know that they're better.
I'm going to look into Smoothie King next, Jerry.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah, and I had a guy reach out to me. He goes, hey, man, I have a couple Pliable franchises. I'm trying to put food on my table. I go, well, no, I'm not taking food off your table. I go, if you had an ice cream shop where there's long lines at all the
For
ice
sure.
cream shops, there's not a single person in line at the ice cream shop going, this is a healthy choice. But they're going, hey, I want an ice cream.
Correct.
I'm going to treat myself to an ice cream. That's all. Just like I'm going to treat myself to some nuggets and fries today. I'm not going to do it twice a week, three times a week, once a week. I'm just going to do it today, and maybe next month I might do it again. That's all I was trying to point out, is that just like Froyo gets pitched as a healthy alternative, yes, to ice cream, it's
correct,
not.
And it's a camping.
No.
Maybe slightly.
Here's how you know. If something's delicious, it's not good for you. That's that simple.
Yeah.
You enjoying that meal? It's no good.
That's true.
The tough part battle for me is going out to eat, because I do like to go out to eat. But
hard.
I'm God knows what they're cooking stuff in.
Correct.
Like, there's no... And they're not required to tell you.
Not at a restaurant.
No.
No.
Not even like, listen, Pliable didn't have to tell me. They could have said secret ingredients.
True.
They don't have to tell me that.
That is,
I think,
true.
Once you get it to a certain number of stores, they have to put nutrition up.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought every, like, place had to, actually.
Yeah, no, you have to get to a certain amount. Like, that's why, like, you go to Applebee's, they
and
tell
they
you.
They have them.
But they don't tell you why that Applebee's thing is.
Or if it's accurate, to be quite honest.
Right.
You know, oh, look, this is 900 calories. Are you sure it's not 970, or is it like 900?
Right. And then are they scooping the same amount in every Applebee's? No.
You would think not. Human error.
Right. So no matter when you go out to eat, you're giving control over to.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Those people.
But it's the experience. You like
you
to
gotta
get
do
out
something.
A little bit.
You got to do something, Jerry.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And listen, I like a Pliable. It's delicious. I also like the oatmeal bowl, which is very healthy, because I feel better when I'm done. I feel like, oh, okay, well, I didn't.
Oatmeal and fruit.
Yeah. But you know what? It's not great at 95 degrees on the boardwalk.
I would think not. Probably not.
Yeah.
That's funny. We have a Pliable, I think, in Homedale, I think. I've never gone.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of them now.
I went to the one in Asbury Park, Jerry. The line.
Yeah.
I got to say, too, they mowed through that line pretty good.
But there, I would think that's another one. So, and again, I'm not talking about the healthy person. For me, I'm talking about someone like myself. If I was in Asbury Park and I was hungry, and I saw my choices were the pizza, which you know is an option.
Right, 100%. There's pizzas.
A chicken sandwich is probably an option somewhere. French fries is an option. Or a Pliable. I still have to think that, I'm not saying it's great.
Right.
That's got to be the better option than eating the other crap.
Right.
Again, extreme why it's not, but comparatively speaking,
to
the other,
yes,
heavy fats and garbage it is, it's got to be a better option.
I walked by a stand on the Asbury Park boardwalk. This is the only things they sell. It's called lemonade and French fries.
That's it?
That's it.
Interesting.
That's all they sell, though. Right.
That is... It's funny because...
But no one's going there going, lemonade, that's good for me, and so are the French fries.
Right, well, but no one, they're not billing it as healthy, though, either.
Correct.
They're telling you it's French fries and lemonade.
That's the difference, right?
Absolutely. People know. A friend of mine has a food truck now. He's doing very well. And I thought, you know what would be fun? Because we always talk about doing different things. And I even thought of the name of it. It would be so cool. So he does hot dogs and sausage sandwiches.
Sausage.
It'd be really cool to have a pizza truck and just call it Slice Life. Pizza
like
by
that,
the
Jerry.
Slice, little coal-fired oven in there. That sounds fun.
That does sound fun.
I love pizza and ice cream are my two favorite things to eat. And I rarely eat ice cream, maybe a couple times a year. I don't even eat it anymore. But pizza I still eat every Friday. And I don't care what diet I'm on, unless the doctor tells me you're going to die if you keep eating pizza. Fridays I'm having pizza. That sounds fun. The problem is I eat too much of it then.
What's your go-to ice cream choice?
Chocolate.
Just straight up chocolate.
That's it. I'm
what
not
about
interested
pizza?
In anything else.
You like thin crust, thick crust,
yep,
regular crust,
mm-hmm,
all of it.
I do. And I like the pizza slightly, not burnt. I like it slightly well done.
Yeah.
Love that.
So that's the coal fire. The ones that they put,
yes,
in there, they're always like kind of
so
burnt on the bottom.
And I love multiple, all different toppings.
Yeah.
Like, I like pineapples and ham on pizza. Pepperoni's good. You know, sausage, meat, anything. Peppers, onion, all that stuff.
What about meat lovers?
From Pizza Hut, yes.
Yeah.
I used to like that, absolutely.
Meat lovers.
Yeah. I absolutely love, the way you love coffee, I love pizza. That I would love to have. But I want to open up a place where the food truck sounds fun, though.
Right. You know, there's no, your maintenance is,
yeah,
your truck.
You just got to find a parking lot that you can rent for $700 or $800 a month. It's easy. It doesn't work. You walk away. You sell the truck. You go in and sign these leases. They want 5 years from you, and they want your family history financials. they want 6 months in advance. It becomes a $100,000 venture before you even open the door. The food truck, you buy the food truck, you buy the oven, you find a parking lot. All right, we're open.
Yeah,
you get your permit.
That building I was living in Mattawan that had all businesses underneath that didn't have any businesses in it yet when I moved in there.
Yeah.
I remember asking around, and it was they were requiring a 5-year lease.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yes. And they'll take you to court if you don't have it. Now, they may not win ultimately, but they're gonna try and scare you into paying them.
What do you think you'd get a food truck for? A used one, I guess.
What are we talking about? I'm talking about one you pull. Are you talking about that you drive?
Yeah, one that I drive.
$100,000.
Yeah.
Those cannot be cheap. I'm talking about, this is one that you hitch to the back of your truck.
Okay.
They don't move it, though. They found a spot for them. It's been in the same spot. He bought it from the guy, and it just stays there right in the parking lot. And if you have to move it, it's got two wheels, and you just hitch it to the truck, and you can take it wherever you want. Outstanding, though. But I don't even think I would need something that big. Just big enough for an oven, a refrigerator, a window. It'd be fun.
You just need a power source, right?
Yes. They have power from the building, from the parking lot they're renting, and they have propane for cooking and stuff like that. That, to me, just seems relaxing and fun. That's cool.
That does sound relaxing.
Yes. I have to be down the shore, though. I wouldn't want to do it where I live.
Yeah.
I'd want it by the shore. I love the ocean. Did you see the story about Los Angeles?
What are they doing?
They're fearing a life-altering flood that could hit.
I did see this. Where does that come out of? Where does that come from?
I guess the climate. I don't know. I didn't read the whole thing, but they said they're fearing that there could be a 100-inch storm coming where it just rains incessantly for weeks and the area can't handle it and it could literally just flood out complete areas of L.A. I love L.A., but my God, between the hurricanes, the wildfires, things like this, I'm good.
And we keep hearing the big earthquakes coming.
Right. They weren't right. Well, we've been hearing about that for 30 years.
Right.
So at some point, it might. I don't know.
That always seemed more like a San Francisco thing for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Although there was the movie made about L.A. on the fault line. So I think all of California.
It's on the big fault line, shifting plates, Jerry.
Yeah. Is Arizona affected? We're going there for the Super Bowl.
I don't think so.
Do we have to worry about that?
No.
Right. I hope not.
No fault lines there.
No fault
lines. I'd be looking for UFOs, though, when I'm out in Arizona. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to bring Matthew to that week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think. I might have to leave. I got to talk to Spike. I might have to leave for one day, though, for Rutgers.
Didn't you have to do that one other time?
I did, in Minnesota. I flew to Illinois. I missed one show, and I came right back. And that was when Gio almost left because his wife was giving birth.
Oh, yes.
Gina almost dumped you. What else?
Because I didn't want to go to the Super Bowl.
Correct. I missed a lot in 24 hours.
Yeah, it was a busy time.
Hey, what I missed, guys?
Busy
time. You have no idea. Oh, okay. That was a rhetorical.
No, that was a big one.
Yeah.
That was a big one, Jerry.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the warm-up program. I did that with CeeLo, as I will all week. Jerry and Sal will be back tomorrow on a Tuesday. Until then, the warm-up show is here. CeeLo.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Have something to say? We'll answer the phone. Call the...
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long. And most days it doesn't suck.
Oh, good morning. Jerry is hosting this week. So he is not in the warm-up show chair. CeeLo joins me. Good morning, CeeLo.
What up, Al? How we doing?
Very good. So I'll give you the heads up of what's going on this week. Me and CeeLo have your warm-up show Monday through Friday. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it's Jerry with Sal Licata.
Yes.
Then Thursday, Friday, Gio and Jerry.
Oh, Gio returns, but I will still do the warm-up program with you. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Okay.
Because Jerry's here all week.
I'm in the Jerry role.
You're in the Jerry role,
yeah.
And Jerry is here all week, and Jerry has decided that 5 hours of Jerry is too much.
Yeah.
4 hours, just enough. 5 hours, too much Jerry for the audience. So he says, CeeLo, you get in here and you do this. Just before we went on, I understand you took phone calls when you and Sal did the warm-up
show. We took a handful of phone calls, yes. And the
Are you aware we don't take phone calls
well, you
on
guys
this show?
Don't, but we couldn't possibly try and replicate the the Jerry and Al dynamic. I almost said Jow there. Jerry and Al, the Jow dynamic.
Jow.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did. We did a couple of warm-up shows, not last week, but the week before. Not a full week of it because... well, we won't get into the minutia of that, but we did Thursday and Friday warm up, and there was a lot going on with the Mets and the Yankees, and you know, we're a couple of sports guys. There was no off-color topics.
Was it the usual Sal callers in the middle of the night?
No, he didn't. We didn't get into any like big screaming matches or arguments. But I think the first call the guy was, what the heck was he talking about? How he was some sort of great paddleball player. It was just random. He's like, oh, I'm like the top-ranked paddleball player in Manhattan, or something weird like that. Right out of the gate. So we decided to take some calls and basically proved your point that, you know, don't bother doing
it. Don't do it.
Because the first guy right out of the gate just didn't make any sense.
Right. Have something to say, we'll answer the phones.
Yes,
no,
right.
We won't from 5 to 6.
Yeah. We took, I would say, less than 5 total.
All right, that's
across
fair.
2 days.
That's fair. CeeLo, where were you when you heard about the Zach Wilson injury?
Where were you?
Where were you Kennedy was assassinated?
That was Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night.
And where was I? I was home watching the game.
Oh, you were watching.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw it happen live.
Yes,
live.
And I also had TV duties that night, so needed to be up on what was going on.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I was at dinner with my sister and her husband. They're huge Jet fans.
Just the three of you?
And Gina. So it was
a little double date situation.
And I took a funny photo of my sister and her husband, and I thought, well, I'll send it to their kids, their two kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're like in their 20s. Also big Jet fans. And I send the photo, and the response to the photo was, the Jet season is over.
Yeah.
I was like, what? He goes, go to Twitter. go to Twitter. I see Zach Wilson.
Okay, so you just sent a generic, hey, we're at dinner. Here's your parents.
Look at this photo. Right. Yeah, I took a picture of them pretending to go into a club where, you know, like teenagers hang out.
Okay, so wherever you guys were, the game was not, you guys were not paying attention to the game.
We were not paying attention to the game. Okay. And then so I was like, well, you got to be kidding me. I see non-contact injury.
Yeah.
Like, the Jets just can't get it. I don't understand
make it up.
How there are guys like Eli Manning and guys like Brett Favre and just guys, like, why are certain guys so fragile?
Well, I mean, you just highlighted two of the more iron men that have ever played the game or in, like, the last 30 to 40 years. But for every one of those guys, there's guys that can't stay healthy or stay on the field. Now, comparing Zach Wilson to Eli, in this case, is not great because Wilson gets hurt on a play where he's scrambling, showing off his athleticism and trying to make a play. Whereas Eli would only scramble if it was absolutely necessary. And I don't think you ever saw Eli make the juke and the cutback to get into the middle of the field instead of just going out of bounds or sliding.
Oh, he can juke.
A little different. Oh, no. He can't. No.
But it's
not against professionals.
Non-contact injuries are very bizarre to me for professional athletes. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand.
A lot of force. Inertia, friction.
So is he? I am reading he's in Los Angeles now.
Yes, he's tomorrow, I believe, has his arthroscopic surgery where they're going to go in and take a look at the meniscus. The hope or the belief is based on the MRI. It just needs a trim.
A trim. Which, just take a little off the top.
Right, exactly, which gives you like a 2 to 4 week range. But the Jets are acknowledging that, hey, once they go in, anything could happen. And if they find that there's more extensive damage to the meniscus and it needs to be fully repaired, then you're talking about a longer time frame, still possibly perhaps the entire season.
And then we're going to get Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah.
Get lost.
Yep. You already had yesterday. He was at the podium. They're asking him. We're still four. It was 4 weeks from yesterday is the season opener. And we've already started with the Joe Flacco facing the Ravens storyline.
But what happened to Mike White?
He's still on the roster.
Did aliens abduct his football?
He played Friday night. He spoke to the media after the game.
But what happened in those weeks?
He had the one really good game against, I think it was the Bengals.
And we're never giving
him
another shot.
They did, and he didn't play as well. That's what it comes down to.
No one more boring.
This is the classic. Oh, look, give me the backup. Everyone loves the backup.
No.
I want to see the backup. I want to see the backup. I don't know the unknown. I want to see the backup. Why is he not playing?
No one wants to see Joe Flacco. Nobody does.
The Jets organization and coaching staff does, apparently.
Okay, great. Go 6-11, and where are you left?
Look, no matter which quarterback, honestly, with Zach Wilson playing, they probably were going to be an under 500 team when you look at their schedule.
I know.
So the whole point of the season is to find out what he is. So that's why right away, Friday, before we found out that he might return, everyone assuming the worst, torn ACL, go get Jimmy Garoppolo. Now's the time. Why? What is Jimmy Garoppolo going to do for this team that Joe Flacco or Mike White can't do?
You think
how many extra wins does Jimmy Garoppolo get this Jets team this year? One?
I don't,
maybe.
You'd rather have Joe Flacco?
It's not
out
a
there?
Question. Of, my point
God,
is like, if
so,
I have to.
You know what it is? It's not boring. Jimmy Garoppolo is not
be
boring.
That as it may, that decision would be made strictly for entertainment purposes and to placate a casual viewer such as yourself.
Correct.
Joe Douglas is not paid to make his decisions just to please Al Dukes, who's a casual football
fan. Okay, what about to please
fan?
The empty stadium you're going to have?
They're not going to have an empty stadium.
You run Joe Flacco out there for
now,
17
Now, maybe
weeks.
Less people will come for the games, but I get this ticket. The tickets are sold. Listen, I hate to be a realist and give you the straight facts, Al, but there's no way they're going to take a big financial hit just because Joe Flacco may or may not have to play a couple
of
games.
So see you never, Jets. See you never.
No, see you next year, unfortunately.
No, not
and that's
see you next
and that's
year.
And that's the way it always goes for them.
If this kid is out for more than
it's a disaster.
Then he's done. Unfortunately,
he's
with the
done.
Jets, yes.
I mean, I don't know.
You
how
cannot
you
sell that to Jets fans that if he's out this season, that he's coming back next year. He
of course he's gonna come
hurt
back.
Himself without anyone touching him.
Correct. Non-contact.
Stop
he's not
it.
The first and he won't be the last.
Right,
that happens all the time.
But those guys, when's the last time a superstar came out of a year of a bad first year, a second year non-contact injury out for the season, then comes back?
I'd have to
it doesn't
do some
happen.
Research on that.
I'll do the research.
Now
for
I'd
you.
Say this,
nobody.
Al: non-contact knee injury for a quarterback versus a quote-unquote skill position player is a different story. Now, if this is, we saw the effect of what happened to Saquon Barkley, if I'm not mistaken, that was a non-contact injury.
Yeah.
And he's not been himself.
Correct.
But he's paid to make cuts and be shifty and be explosive. Zach Wilson ultimately is going to be paid to throw the football and stand in the pocket and boomer, you know, you got to be able to throw from the pocket. You got to be able to quarterback from the pocket.
Nobody wants that anymore. Everybody wants a Kyler
they like
Murray
a blend. They
running
like a mix.
Around.
No.
Oh, yes, they
no.
do.
No.
I've done a poll.
Not everybody wants a Kyler Murray. It's nice to have the ability to do that, but it's not sustainable long term. And that's why people still have questions about Lamar Jackson and why he still doesn't have a new contract.
And this is the thing that really sucks about the NFL. Your season is, for the most part, based on your quarterback.
Yeah. And that's why we get mad at these ticky-tack flags that they throw. There's a reason for it, because they're trying to keep these guys healthy, available, and in the games.
And here we are in August 15th, mm-hmm. and the Jets season, this looks bad, or it's over.
What was it, second series of the preseason?
Yeah.
Because he, of course, threw a pick on the first.
Sure. Just for good measure to get us all warmed up.
And a bad one at that, but I mean, I don't know. So, look, I get the frustration. I understand the point about Joe Flacco. It's just like, let's say the worst case happens. They go in, they go in for the surgery. And, it's worse. We got to repair the meniscus, and he's out. Not even the whole year, but he's out, I don't know, 10 to 12 weeks. Am I going to sit here and tell you right now on, what did you say today, is August 15th, that Joe Flacco's starting every game? No, of course not. Maybe at some point you see Mike White, but to me, it's... You're splitting hairs. What's the difference? And I know there's the Jet fan out there that's going to give me the, whoa, maybe Mike White could be the guy. Maybe he could be the answer. These coaching staff, their whole lives, their livelihoods are all about coaching and analyzing these guys and breaking down the film and who knows what and who can give me what I need to win. Mike White played the game of his life last year, right? We talked about it for the whole week.
It was awesome.
It was great. If they really believed that there was a legitimate possibility that he could be a long-term solution, why wouldn't they give him the opportunity? What is the conspiracy theory or the agenda against Mike? If they really disliked him that much, he wouldn't be on the team anymore.
But what does throwing Joe Flacco out there
nothing.
Do?
He's a quarterback to play the games because you have 51 other guys on the roster that you have to keep interested and motivated to play the football game. Like, they can't just, okay, Zach Wilson's done and we don't have a great out, we forfeit. So just stay home.
No, but
we're not going to play the games.
But a Jet fan, and we do these games for the fans. They don't exist without them.
Yes, that's true.
The Jet fan does not want to see Joe Flacco running out there every week. They don't.
I don't think you'll see it every week, but I understand why you're going to see it week one if Wilson is indeed not prepared to play.
Joe Flacco.
I know. I'm not trying to sell excitement.
This is what they should say to these guys. The NFL should call Joe Flacco and go, Joe Flacco.
Go away.
You're boring. You're so boring. Guess what? You're going to be the quarterback of the Jets. Pick it up. We're in the entertainment medium.
You can't, but
you're not good, so at least be entertaining. Give me Gardner Minshew up here.
Nah.
At least he's entertaining.
You can't say he's not good. You can't say that. Yeah,
Joe Flacco's not
good.
He's
had a nice career.
Yes, 100 years ago.
It's not as long as you think. And that was a line of questioning for him yesterday. And he was kind of like,
what
did
he say?
Well, they were like, hey, you know, it's been 10 years since you won with the Ravens. He's like, I know all these guys in the locker room think I'm like 50. He's like, I'm not that old. I'm a man. I'm 40. He's not even 40.
Come at me. Not that he'll be able to stand in there because he'll get one hit. He's 50 years old. He's going to get hurt. Then Mike White. We'll be down to the seventh quarterback by the end of this year.
Flacco's a guy that's, for the most part, stayed healthy. He don't run around all that much. Stands in the pocket, gets rid of the football. I'm not trying to sell you on sexy or exciting. It's a bummer. It's devastating. Now, again, who knows? Maybe it's 2 to 4 weeks and he's back either for the opener or the first quarter of the season. For me, my concern becomes then, and I know they asked Sala about this yesterday, it's like, well, it's weeks now where he's, A, not going to be able to practice, where they haven't been killing it either. It's not just on Zach Wilson. The offense has been struggling for the most part in practices. They've got questions along the offensive line. So he's going to miss out on practices and also playing in these next couple of preseason. I mean, he throws a pick, gets hurt, And legitimately, that could be the last game action he sees until he steps back onto the field in a regular season game. It's not what you want.
I know. It's just, again, we're looking at another season for the Giants and Jets.
Yeah, misery.
Again.
And Daniel Jones comes out and practiced, I think it was yesterday or Saturday, and they had an abysmal offensive practice. And I looked, by the way, did you watch that game Thursday night?
No.
Okay.
I can barely watch the Giants when it counts.
I'm not criticizing you for that. My point is this. They actually move the ball on the first drive. And they get into the red zone, and what happens? On a third down, he throws to Kenny Golladay, who's wide open, stops running his route, ball hits him in the chest, and he drops it. Sterling Shepard's hurt. Kadarius Toney didn't play. They're starting a fourth-round rookie at tight end. Thank God Saquon Barkley's still on the team. And we're supposed to evaluate Daniel Jones, and everyone's going to be ready to crush and kill him, get him out. What exactly do the Giants offer you offensively right now?
Nothing.
So, I mean, it is a black hole in town with the football.
I mean, thank goodness.
And we were, thank God for the baseball teams. Right. Thank God for the Mets right now, because the Yankees are headed in the wrong direction. Now, of course, that can change between now and October, but this is going on the better part of 4, 5, 6 weeks now, where they've been mediocre to below average.
All right. Well,
so who the hell knows?
Well, let's do little Yankee talk on the other side here,
yeah, let's
CeeLo.
Do that.
Coming up at 6 a.m., Jerry Recco will be here leading the charge with Sal Licata filling in for Boomer and Geo. I wish I was in the Beastie Boys.
Yeah?
Yeah, listen to this. Yeah. I could have done this, I think.
Which role are you going to play?
I would just be the guy that jumps around on the stage.
Oh, okay.
I don't play any instruments. Yeah. Jerry Recco's not here today. He'll be here at 6 a.m. He's actually out in the newsroom enjoying himself.
Prepping.
A little show prep. Yeah. He'll be
He's lazy.
He'll be hosting with Sal Licata today from 6 to 10. Same tomorrow. Same Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, Gio's back with Jerry. Boomer not in all week.
Summer schedule manipulation
going on here. Now, we mentioned in the first segment how the Jets and Giants season, both most likely over.
Yeah.
The Giants just because they're boring, and the Jets because Zach Wilson's hurt. And we're going to get boring Joe Flacco as our quarterback.
Maybe only for a week or two. We'll see.
We'll see.
Should know, I would think, later this week. Maybe as early as tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be... Even if we get good news, we know he's fragile. And if I'm the defense, I go pro wrestling
style.
I guess.
I don't know. I think it's a little early to say fragile. I know he's had some injuries. He took some massive hits last year as a rookie. This was a little different.
He did.
This was a little different.
But teams are going to know. Go for the knee.
He wore a brace when he came back last year. I'm sure he'll be wearing a brace again post-surgery this year, if indeed he does return.
So, a brace, CeeLo?
Yes.
I don't think...
Quarterbacks wear those.
Yeah,
sometimes even when they're not,
but
don't have an injury.
Does a brace help us help you from a 250-pound muscular linebacker
it
just
can,
drilling
if it keeps
you?
The knee stabilized or avoids it bending in a
okay,
way it shouldn't
good.
Bend?
Well, why don't we just make that part of the equipment then? Knee braces for everybody.
And you can't make it mandatory. No.
Oh, yes, we can. We've made masks mandatory in vaccines.
God, please.
We can definitely make... Knee braces mandatory. You got to wear a helmet.
A little different.
Got to wear a helmet in football.
You do, yes. Nice job the Jets did with your helmet here in studio, by the way, with
did.
The Boomer and Geo logo.
Yeah, they made a Boomer and Geo logoed helmet.
Very nice.
With the Jets helmet.
You guys had a good trip out there to Florham Park.
We did. It was a good. And I was impressed by Zach Wilson's back muscles.
Like, yeah, I saw you tweet out that picture. Yeah.
I was getting all excited.
Well, he definitely bulked up. He put on some muscle, as most guys do going from rookie year to second year.
He should have worked out his knee a little more.
Actually, his legs looked very muscular in the shorts pictures I've seen from whatever mini camp OTAs, training camp before they put the pads on. So I think he did a good job taking care of himself. It's just one of those things, plant, sometimes that turf catches you the wrong way and things happen.
Now, luckily for the local sports teams, we have the New York Mets.
Metsies are hot.
Who continue to roll.
17 out of 20, right?
Yes. 17 out of 20. They took two from the Phillies this weekend.
They just don't give up any runs.
They don't give up any runs. Yeah. Jacob DeGrom had a nice outing Saturday.
I mean, they lost Friday. It was 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1.
Yeah.
That was a Max Scherzer start, which I was upset about. And then Chris Bassitt looks good yesterday. 5 innings, 4 hits, 0 runs.
Yeah, maybe not quite as efficient as we're used to seeing him. He didn't give you the length he did last time out, but 5 innings, no runs. You can't argue with it.
And the big fella, Daniel Vogelbach.
Yeah, the big fella.
He drilled a home run.
Sure did.
That was awesome.
Dead red fastball.
Now, we do get Mets Braves.
Again, yeah.
In Atlanta.
Yes.
Fulton County Stadium on TBS.
It's not Fulton County Stadium. Hasn't been since 2000, I think. 2001.
I'll take your word for it.
They moved to Turner Field.
Oh, right.
I think. Oh, right. Post-Olympics, they had, I think, turned the stadium from the Olympics in Atlanta.
They did.
And then they ditched that stadium, and now they're in, what is it, Truist Park or something?
They're in the second stadium since Fulton County.
Where you been, dude? Yeah. They built one of these big, it's the stadium, and it's got all the shopping complexes, and it's Fugazi. It's not in Atlanta. It's in a suburb,
right,
I think,
yeah.
Cumberland, Georgia.
Yeah, because they put it in a suburb and then still call it Atlanta.
Sure.
Like
greater Atlanta area.
How the Jets and Giants are in New Jersey, but we still call them New York,
that's right.
Sort of thing.
Exactly. The metro area.
So that's how many game series is this? You know off the top of your head?
I believe it's 4.
What?
Actually, I've got the Mets schedule right in front of me.
All
yes.
Right.
A 4-gamer, Monday through Thursday, no doubleheader situations. And then they go to Philadelphia for including a doubleheader Saturday. And then they come back to New York and they finish up with 2 against the Yankees.
Wow.
So you got a nice little, as Boomer would like, that big 10-game stretch here.
That is a big 10-game stretch.
Yeah.
Man, we got to smack the Braves around again.
They've been beaten up on them. They've been winning the series every time. The last couple of times they faced Atlanta, they've won the series.
We need at a minimum... split. Minimum.
Sal will probably come in here and tell you minimum 3 out of 4.
Yeah, I like
3 out of 4.
Because
they had a 5-gamer with the Braves at Citi Field while you were, I guess, on vacation.
Yeah, no, I was
and Sal was minimum 4 out of 5. I was like, 4 out of 5? Yeah, like, even if you lose 3 out of 5, you're losing 1 game in standings. Like, 2 and 3. So just get 3 and you're good, you know?
That's what I'm saying. They
ended up winning 4, so he was right.
I would like 4 out of 5. I would like...
Well, this is 4.
I would like 3 out of 4.
Sure.
But I'm saying, when I say minimum.
Yes. Well, he was saying, again, minimum 4 out of 5. Greedy.
He was trying to get you
greedy. But that's what they got him. So we'll see what he says. Now that this, you know, they've cleared that series, and the more obviously they face them, the less games they have left against Atlanta, and they've got a nice little cushion. So he might give you the, hey, I'd sign up for a split right now. But
okay.
We'll see. We'll find out at 6 or at 6:03.
We got Carlos Carrasco on the mound tonight.
Yeah. I mean, listen, seemingly everyone they throw out there right now just does the job. So it's 8 in a row. They've given up 2 runs or less. I mean, they gave up 2 runs in 3 games against the Phillies. And let's see here. Mets starters are 8-0 with a 1.11 ERA in the team's last 9 games.
They are.
I mean, I don't know how you argue with any of that.
They are rolling. Now, your Yankees, on the other hand,
are not.
They got some problems.
Yes.
They lost Sunday Night Baseball 3-0.
Yes.
Couldn't touch
Michael Wacha.
Wacha, Wacha. The good news is it only took 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Which is insane for Yankees, Red Sox, and at Fenway.
Right, that's like, normally a 4.5-hour ball
game. 3 games this weekend, normally you get one that's back and forth slugfest. You didn't get any of that at Fenway this weekend. There was a whole lot of nothing, really, was.
Did you see the home run last night by Devers?
I did.
Let me ask you this, because I don't know if this goes against some sort of rules. If not, it should.
Mm-hmm.
He drills the home run, and he backs himself up like as he's watching it. Back, 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 back. He goes completely, not only out of the box, nowhere near the line where you're running down the line, where they call that base path.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I didn't care for that.
Okay.
It just looked like... very dramatic.
Where have you been for the last 10 years?
No, but this was a full-on back.
Bat flips. Guys do this. They stare. They admire. I got news for you. There are some guys on the Yankees that do it sometimes.
No, but I'm saying I've never seen somebody...
like backpedaling?
Backpedal themselves out of the
When there's no play in the base path, it don't matter.
Are you
same
sure?
Same way guys, when they turn to go from first to second, they call it a banana turn. They come out, and so you can curl around and get the inside of the first base bag and clip that bag and get yourself on a good path to second.
Yeah.
You don't run straight in the baseline and make a 90-degree turn. You might. Others don't.
We'd be hurting a lot of...
Professionals don't. Yeah, there'd be a lot of Zach Wilson situations. Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did you catch any of the... I know you weren't locked in live. Did you catch any highlights or clips of the K-Rod cast?
Yes, I did.
Jeter's appearance. You did. Okay.
I did.
So we can get into that.
I caught various clips.
All right. And what was your take?
My takeaway was, well, first I read headlines. That's what I initially do. Right?
Also, let me preface it with, have you watched any of The Captain?
Not yet.
Okay.
I have them all recorded.
That's fine.
And I have no interest to go to it. I don't know why.
You will. Maybe. We talked about this with Gio week and a half ago or so. It's like too much baseball in season. I understand that with everything else, you know, a young dad's got going, young has got going on. So I get that. And I was like, that's something good in the wintertime when the Jets and the Giants are, their seasons have long since ended as far as being relevant. You throw that on like a, you know, mid-December weeknight or something. Let me get a little taste for some baseball.
Yeah, some baseball.
Now, I did watch all, I'm done with it. I watched all seven, but go ahead, proceed.
So the headlines I was initially reading were Jeter was clearly very upset that they showed the shirtless photo of him with the other shortstops.
I can't tell if he was joking or not.
I think
honestly,
he was joking.
I would agree with you, but having watched The Captain, it's not so much that I'd say I learned this about him, but it reinforced, like, you don't mess around with him. He's a straight shooter, and if you cross him, boy, it takes a long time to get off that you-know-what list. So I honestly have no feel. Like, honestly, I had no feel for whether or not he's really good with A-Rod, because they allegedly, they reference how they spoke about a month and a half ago or so, which I assume was connected to A-Rod being involved in the documentary. And I also couldn't tell what the dynamic is between Jeter and Michael Kay. Because there was some subtle stuff going on in these exchanges. So I get it. He agreed to come on and he answered the questions and they laughed a little and joked around. But like, I have no feel for, like, if you told me, hey, the three of them are all good, they're friendly, I'd believe you. And if you told me that they can't stand each other, I'd believe that as well.
Well, I don't
So him with the shirt off thing saying, hey, don't show that. And then the producer did, and his reaction, which was dry, I could not tell if he was joking or dead serious. I really couldn't.
Yeah, I felt like he was joking. First of all, he wouldn't agree to go on there if he and A-Rod weren't good.
They weren't going to come to blows, but I wonder if they've kind of come to, like, hey, look, we'll be civil, you know, let's publicly, we don't want this to be going on and brewing, and we'll probably have to see each other at events over the course of time, you know, so let's just kind of bury the hatchet a little bit. But it's just amazing to me that at one point when they were young, they were clearly so good, and they've both spoken about it, how close they were. You saw again the photos and the images last night, and they touched on that in the documentary as well. But they're so different. Like, it's just hard for me to fathom. I don't get what they have in common other than they were both young shortstops.
That's
you know?
It, baseball.
And then, like, I get opposites attract sometimes when you have friends you have nothing in common with. But, like, their personalities and it seems like their, like, core set of beliefs are just so different, you know?
Whose idea do you think it was to have the guys all take their shirts off? The photographer?
Yeah, I think they were referencing how at this photo shoot, that was, like, one of the last shots that they wanted to take, and they were running out of time, and Jeter didn't want to do it, and then he finally gave in.
We're running out of time here. I'd love to get you guys shirtless.
Yeah, yeah.
What was so weird?
In the big picture, who cares? I mean, like, what Jeter acts like this was a nude shot they took,
right.
You know? Like, you take your shirt off at the beach, like, what's the big deal? Go in the pool, who cares?
We're running out of time. I know you guys are shirtless now. What if we got you to show your schweens? I'm not going to photograph it just to see.
A-Rod probably would have been on board with that.
What are we doing now? Showing our schweens? All right, hang on.
So, I mean, look, I didn't feel like it was all A-Rod last night and that Jeter wanted no part of it, but there did still seem, it felt like there was some awkwardness there. And I don't know if you noticed in the clips, and I tweeted this out within the first half inning, and this might be just an A-Rod thing. He kept touching Jeter on the shoulder, on the leg. Like, he just couldn't keep his hands off of him. And Jeter never, there was never any, like, back and forth. Yeah, they bro-hugged when he first got on set. They did, you know, the hand clasp and brought it in for the hug and all that. But once he sat down in the chair, it was just, it was weird. It was bizarre. And I know A-Rod's a weird guy, and I feel like I can't, again, public A-Rod versus private A-Rod, I have no idea. It could be two completely different people, because you do get that like phony fraud aspect with him, and you feel like he's putting on a performance. But you also, I think, genuinely get the sense that like he does that because he wants to be liked and accepted. And he was the one last night falling on the sword. I've got regrets. I wish I would have done this differently, so on and so forth. And Jeter just gave you that, well, you know, life is short. You got to move on. Like, there was no, hey, my bad. I contributed to it a little bit as well.
Not at all. He took no blame.
So it's a very interesting dynamic. And especially for me, and Gio, I know, referenced this a couple weeks ago on the show, because I had, I'm not going to say a similar situation, but had a falling out with, at the time, my best friend when I ultimately started dating my now wife, which has been discussed on the show multiple times, and never really buried that hatchet with the former friend. Like, we've seen each other a few times over the years. Again, we can be civil in public. Like, we're not going to have to be separated or anything like that. But there's just there's an awkwardness and a distance there. So the Jeter A-Rod dynamic is exceedingly interesting to me, just because I've kind of lived something like that a little bit.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense. I wish that Jeter, A-Rod, and Michael K would have just got shirtless.
I don't think anyone would have wanted to see K shirtless. No offense, Michael.
That would have broken the ice.
Because the other two are clearly still in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
So I think they would have looked fine.
But then that would have been good. Then that would have eased Derek Jeter's feelings.
Jeter, who didn't want to do it initially, whatever it was, 30 years ago. No, not 30. 25 years ago now, and certainly clearly didn't want to touch on it again last night.
But
why would he want to get involved with it last night on
what's
the,
weird
on the
is
air?
Like, he's not promoting the Captain documentary. It's
I think they were
with
a little bit because K was, you know, yes, you can watch it on ESPN Plus. It's available. You can stream it. So,
pushing the ESPN Plus.
Yes,
gimmick.
They all aired on ESPN, but if you haven't watched it, they're available. You know, they both were in the documentary, K and A-Rod. They took part pretty extensively, actually.
Yeah.
So that was an aspect. Look, I give him credit. A lot of these other guests just hop on the Zoom. You saw it last night, Bob Costas and Roger Clemens. I don't know if you saw, they opened with Neil Simon, which was, I didn't really.
Neil Simon, the playwright?
I'm sorry, Paul Simon. What's wrong with me?
Paul Simon, Paul Simon of Simon and Garfinkel.
Yes, of course. Paul Simon, which still was, I get the connection. He loves baseball and he's written music about it. But like the idea of this alternate cast, I feel like is for more of the newer, younger, you know,
yeah.
No offense to
Paul Simon,
but like what I don't know. He's playing his guitar. They barely paid attention to the game. It was just weird.
There was a Paul Simon was a guest on Michael Kay's Center Stage.
Yeah, well, he referenced, I've had Paul Simon, I've had A-Rod, I've had Jeter, so this is like his go-to crew last night.
But it was odd at the time, many years ago, when Michael Kay asked Paul Simon what music he listens to these days.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't really listen to music, I listen to the radio. He goes, what do you listen to? He goes, Boomer and Carton.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow, I forgot. I don't think I knew that, or if I did, I had forgotten. That's interesting.
It was crazy.
Huh.
Let's take a break, CeeLo. You've gone on way too long.
Yes.
Listen to Boomer and Carton.
There you go.
Yeah, that was Paul Simon on the Center Stage.
Make sure when we come back from this next break, give me a Neil Simon song.
No, I'm going to give you a Paul Simon. That's one of Eddie's favorites. He loves some Paul Simon.
Oh, God.
Okay. When we come back, what else do I have here? So a little more football. I have a couple more baseball items.
We were supposed to kill the Yankees in that segment and went into a Jeter A-Rod thing.
All right. We've got a couple more Yankee stuff. And then Jerry Recco and Sal Licata at 6. Paul Simon here.
Oh, I thought maybe from the Neil Simon Greatest Hits.
Boy in the Bubble. This is a great tune. Plus, it's a Seinfeld reference for you, Bubble Boy.
Ah, yes, of course. The Moops.
Sorry, the Moops.
Yes. Slow day. I will say this about Paul Simon. He did manage to, along with A-Rod, blast Isaiah Kanafalefa's defense on the appearance yesterday.
Paul Simon did?
Yeah, so he brought some hot takes. Brought a hot take.
Well, no,
maybe
take.
Not a hot take. But yeah.
Now, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Yeah, it's the only reason the Yankees didn't get swept over the weekend, by the way.
Yeah, and he hit a home run, and I guess we finally got a John Sterling.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think to go listen to that.
Yeah.
Should we play it now?
Pull yes.
It up, see what we got here?
I did hear it, and now I can't recall what it is.
He's had all year to prepare for
yes,
it.
Yes, he has.
So, let's see here. Da-da-da.
I did hear it. It was
I
something.
Heard it. I, it was something.
It was something. Like, he did have something for him. But I don't recall it being like I wasn't blown away.
All right, here we go.
Now here's the 1-1 to Isaiah. Swung on and line to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His first home run as a Yankee. He is Ralph Kiner-Falefa.
Ah.
Isaiah, a player. He hits a two-run home run, and the Yankees have tied the game at two.
That's not bad.
Not terrible.
I kind of like that.
Ralph Kiner-Falefa.
Yeah, Isaiah is a player. Eddie said in my ear, I liked it, Eddie. I'm going to say it because I think it's pretty funny. IKFU.
gave me that line as well. Good.
Oh, he did?
He's
okay.
Trying to get one of us to do
maybe
his lines.
It was probably in the same ear at the same time. I couldn't tell if you got that fed to you as well or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
It probably went out over the air over my because my ear pieces are so loud.
You're
blasting.
The new Steve Summers.
Yeah, I'm the new Steve
awesome.
Summers, so it probably shot right out over the air. What else do I have from
Ralph
baseball?
Ralph Kiner-Falefa.
Frankie Montas.
He was fine.
He was fine.
Better than the first time out.
That was a talking point all week from Mr. Boomer Esiason, and he was looking for...
Better. Yes.
From Frankie
Montas.
Well,
he had set the bar low. I will come to his defense, and I haven't watched enough of him yet to know how I really feel, if I'm going to like him or not. But, I mean, the first time out, the Yankees could not have put him in a worse situation, right? He's away on the bereavement list with his family in God knows where. They fly him into St. Louis Saturday night to pitch Sunday. How did we think that was going to work out?
Probably not great.
And it didn't.
Not great.
I mean, are we to believe, and this is not a knock on Frankie Montas, or Montas, I believe is Michael, the correct pronunciation.
Montas. All right.
Like, he's away on bereavement list. His wife's, I think, mother or father passed away. So he's with family. Do we think he's, like, taking time during the week to, I got to go get my side session in here? I mean, maybe he was. I don't know. But, like, how prepared could he have really been for that start? He's also a guy that's had shoulder issues throughout the course of this season here and there. So,
do you think the wife was like, you're pitching this week?
Right. I don't know. But it's a tough spot. Like, he didn't travel with the team in St. Louis. He met them there in the middle of the series, just joining a new, like, he hadn't been with them at all yet.
They put him on a Delta flight in the back, and he was
in the
middle seat in a three-person row.
I don't think they did that.
What a mess.
Now, the other side of that coin is Jordan Montgomery gets shipped off to the Cardinals, and all he's done in two starts is not give up a run. So, I don't know, man. It's just strange times with the Yankees right now.
And I saw Joey Gallo had another home run.
Yeah, he's been better. Dodgers. I think he's hit three or four of them, and he's hit like two. He's still striking out, but he's hitting, yes, the batting average is well north of 200, and he has hit a couple of home runs. So.
Now, the Yankees play the Rays coming to town tonight, 7:05
The
start.
Rays, who've been waffling with the Orioles for a wild card spot, they took, I think, 2 out of 3 from Baltimore. They won a series from the Orioles down at the Trop over the weekend, and they retook the wild card spot from Baltimore.
And I see there was a bit of a brouhaha in that game.
Was there?
I
see. I did not see that. This was
yesterday's
game? Benches
cleared, but I don't know if any punches were thrown.
Yesterday's game?
Yeah, but there was a bit of a brouhaha.
I did not see that.
No punches?
No.
So order was restored.
Order was restored, but it's getting testy.
Was that before? It had to be before the perfect game got broken up, right?
Yes.
And I would assume then it was when Baltimore was in the field. Tampa at the plate?
No.
So the guy's in the middle of pitching a perfect game, and they had a benches clearing.
Maybe it was
incident?
A Saturday brouhaha.
That was Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Saturday brouhaha.
So but
yesterday.
It was involving the batter calling time. The ump granted it very late. He had started the windup. The umpire said, that's on me, but the pitcher still chirped at the batter.
Interesting.
He didn't like the batter.
Benches and bullpens briefly empty. Oh, Pete Fairbanks. He likes to mix it up. And Robinson Chirinos. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, so this Drew Rasmussen of the Rays had a perfect game. Not one of these
crappy no-hitters.
Yeah,
that
crappy
no-hitters. No. Cares
hitters,
about, right?
No. A perfect game in the ninth inning.
Yes. Did you see who broke it up?
No, who did?
Former Yankee prospect Jorge Mateo.
Okay.
Yes.
And then he walked the guy after that.
And that was it. See you later.
Just get out.
But they won.
They did
win. They took the series. And I think they're a game and a half up now on the Orioles.
All right.
I'm kind of pulling for the Orioles a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Which is,
I'm with you.
You know, I shouldn't. They play in the same division as the Yankees and kind of a rival, but it's like they've been bad long enough. They're spunky. They traded away a couple of good players, you know, Mancini to Houston and what was the club? Jorge Lopez to the Twins, I think it was.
I'm with you.
So they took off. They took two key contributors away. You leave a bunch of kids behind who were crushed to see Mancini go, and they're still playing good baseball.
I agree.
Spunky.
I'm on Team Baltimore Orioles. Fernando Tatis Jr. got an 80-game suspension. Yeah. This is an odd one.
That was the old Friday news dump, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? It's amazing how much has happened since you guys were here.
Yes.
Like, the concept that you guys have not even had a chance to comment on Zach Wilson is just mind-blowing.
Very
bizarre. Feels like it happened a week ago.
Yeah, those Friday evening things or late afternoon things. So he tests positive, Fernando Tatis Jr., for a performance-enhancing substance. He says he took medication for ringworm.
Right.
But no one seems to buy that.
No. Certainly not within his own organization.
Right.
The GM blasted him. A couple of pitchers came out with some pretty strong words against him. So
he's got to grow up.
They're not buying what he's selling.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I took some cream for ringworm.
Now, and it was only one of these situations where he puts the statement out, you know, very remorseful and, you know, owning it, so to speak. But I think it said he dropped his appeal because he acknowledged it was his mistake. But why, like, at one point in time, do you realize, okay, yep, my bad. Like, seemingly the appeal was on at some point, and then he just dropped it out of the blue. I don't know. I know the Padres only found out at Friday at 4 Eastern. No one in the organization had any inkling that this was going down, which is hard to believe.
All right. Eddie's yelling at me for a break, but first we got a sports minute by someone.
Yes, Amy Lawrence.
Oh, Amy.
On that lefty quarterback down in Miami.
Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
We are running out of time before Jerry and Sal take over. We lost a great radio personality. Ben Stern, Howard Stern's father, passed away.
Yes.
99 years old.
Good run.
What a run.
Can't ask for much more than that.
I mean, that guy was a tremendous guest over the years, and also one of Howard's impressions that he does of his father. We had all those tapes when Ben Stern was an engineer in New York radio.
Mm.
You moron. Told you not to be stupid, you moron. Now listen, answer serious, you moron. I was saddened to hear
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.